Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corlin Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com. And podcast, the KE Report. A lot for us to talk about in terms of some market moves and also balanced out with a new war that started up over last weekend. We talked a lot about how the markets reacted to some of that news throughout the week. So in this weekend show, we're first going to bounce around to a number of different sectors, get more of a short-term outlook, a trading outlook for all of you traders out there. And in the back end of the show, switch a little bit of our focus more to the resource sector, which unfortunately a lot of those resources have also been under some pressure. However, broadly, the last, I guess, our first couple days of the week, we did see a broad rebound in most assets. However, now near the tail end of the week, as we're recording this first segment, we're starting to see a bit more of a rollover. We are chatting right now with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share Pro website. Dana, let's start high level. U.S. markets. Look, the markets had about a four-day bounce after what has been kind of consistent pressure for about 2 months. But on Thursday, as we're recording this, well, it's a rough day. Again, a lot of red on my screen in a wide range of sectors. Dana, is that all the bounce that we're going to get from the broad averages in the U.S.?
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, in the short term, that very well might be the case because we've had a pretty sharp, as you mentioned, basically 1 week straight up. And it's coming off in some of the averages off of some or near some okay support levels. So wasn't surprising to see that. Also, sentiment, which obviously we've talked about this, got extremely overly bullish in July, in the top of the market in July, which from a contrarian standpoint obviously was negative for the stock market. Now it approached at the low last week, really approached some extreme levels of bearishness, especially if you look at the options market, some of the put to call ratios. So really got down closer to extreme levels on the bearish side. We would like to see even more extreme levels. So if we get, which I think markets are at risk of, another test lower or another down leg lower, at least, you know, maybe even undercut the recent lows, that could instill or induce a, I don't want to say panic, but at least another spike higher in fear levels, which would be another factor in potentially contributing to a nice intermediate term low in the market. Then we could get more of a durable kind of rally maybe through the end of the year or longer. So that would be one thing to keep an eye on here. So after the last week of up moves, kind of ran out of steam, maybe short covering ran out of steam, I would certainly be, and we have been getting a little bit more defensive into this rally, into some okay resistance levels also in the short term.
Well, Dana, speaking about getting defensive, when you look at investors, the way they're getting defensive is a little different. You know, obviously they're not buying bonds because the rates have been screaming higher over the last couple months as the markets pulled back. But even sectors like the utilities or consumer staples, which are considered value stocks, you know, a kind of a flight to safety, those are getting hammered. What do you make of that makeup where a lot of investors don't seem to be getting safety in the safety stocks?
Sure, yeah, there certainly has been no rotation into those supposed defensive names. So that's one reason why, you know, when we're advising clients, the notion of defensive assets or defensive securities is kind of a misnomer because they're only defensive at certain times. For example, now utilities, consumer staples have been taken to the woodshed. That's during this jump in interest rates. So obviously the jump in interest rates doesn't make you want to run into utilities, for example. So that could be one factor contributing to pullback there. So from that standpoint, don't necessarily think that utilities shifting into utilities or for that matter into bonds is necessarily going to protect you in a sell-off in equities, for example. So, and maybe the most important point related to that topic is longer term, some of the, especially some of our older investors who are shifting more and more into fixed income as they get older because they've been told, okay, this is more defensive. You want to be in safer, less risky assets. Well, when we're in a longer term bear market in bonds, you know, which we think bond yields are going up for several decades, then that's not going to afford them the protection that maybe they think they're getting or that their advisors are telling them that they're going to get. So something for, you know, especially, like I said, older, more mature investors, something that they should keep in mind, you know, defensive, quote unquote, defensive or conservative investments are not always defensive or conservative.
So, Dana, one other aspect of the market's a different sector that we have touched on quite regularly are the small cap stocks. You look at the Russell 2000, we've addressed the fact that it has been lagging the markets during that run up for the majority of this year so far. The Russell 2000 is only about 6% away from those washout lows of last year, which is quite noteworthy, I think. How concerned do we need to be about the small cap stocks? And again, if the Russell drops, let's say 7-8% and breaks those lows from last year, what could that mean in a contagion type effect?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern of ours. One of our main focus, one of the hallmarks of our quantitative models is really looking at breadth and broad market statistics because studies have shown about 70-80% of the cause of the direction of any stock is due to the direction of the overall market. So you want to be aligned on the right side of the market. When the broad market, including the small caps, is headed lower, that puts pressure on the entire market. So that is indeed a negative in the longer term. I don't think it necessarily precludes a intermediate term rally, which I think we're gearing up for. But certainly in the longer term, it gives fodder to our thesis that we are actually in a longer term bear market, which, you know, some people scoff at. But when you consider, like you said, Russell's getting close to the lows from a year ago. If you look at the microcaps, they actually broke those lows. So they're currently trading at multi-year lows, you know, actually, I think 3-year lows since the end of 2020. And then also the value line geometric composite, which we like to look at, tracks the median stock in the market. And that's certainly far off the highs from a couple years ago and much closer to the lows of last year. So from that perspective, it is definitely probably the main concern, the main red flag that we have in the longer term is the underperformance in the broader market. So like I said, in the near term, doesn't mean we can't rally a bit, but I wouldn't hang my hat on a long-term, durable, sustainable rally from that standpoint.
All right, Dana, thanks for breaking that down for us. You're not going to get tons of disagreements from, I know, our listeners that there probably will be a bigger market pullback. A lot of people are still expecting a crash. It's hard to know exactly what's going to happen right now, but the markets clearly have rolled over, and there are some very defined, continued weak pockets out there. Dana, we're having you back on next segment. We are going to be continuing to jump around to a number of different sectors, so everybody, Stick around. We're going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, as much as we recap the U.S. equity markets and how, look, there might be a short-term opportunity, but overall you are still more in the bearish camp. Let's talk about the bond market. You've been on our show for the last probably over a year now, probably a couple of years, saying that you think this long-term bull market for bonds that lasted decades is over and higher rates are here to stay, maybe even higher than where we are now. But let's face it, rates really did spike. Yes, they pulled back a tail bit this week at the end of the week, but on the 10-year, we're still up in the 4.6 region, almost 4.7 region. Now, again, they did just spike rates. So where do you see rates going from here? Technical basis, a bit more shorter term, please.
Yeah, so from our, technically speaking, from our standpoint, as you know, obviously we do think rates go up for decades to come. But around the 4% was definitely a key level to watch. It's roughly the 23 retracement from the top in the early 80s. So we did kind of base there, consolidate there for the last year. Broke above there last month, which was a major development. Now it could go two ways. If we hold above, you know, that upper four, or call it 4.25%. If we hold above there, the next major upside level that we'd be looking at is probably up above 6%. So definitely it would open the door to that. On the other hand, if rates do pull back and fall back below that breakout level around that 4.25 level, could get a false breakout on the charts and maybe money starts rushing the other way. And that may contribute to that type of intermediate term rally in risk assets like I was talking about. But definitely one of the main developments out there in the financial markets that we've got a very close eye on.
Okay, so watch that 4.25 level. That gives us something to keep an eye on. What about the dollar? The dollar has kept plowing higher, and right now I guess you can argue that it's kind of in this wide range from that peak back in Q3, Q4 of last year, but quite frankly, this year the dollar has broken out to some highs for this year. So where can the dollar go from here? Is there still more upside?
Yeah, certainly. I think you hit on the head basically in a range here, right? With the lows around close to 99 in the dollar index where we broke out last year, and I guess early 2022, and then the highs from a year ago up closer to 115. So I think the benefit of the doubt is to the upside right now. Obviously, the near-term momentum is pointed that way. The next key level of the upside would be around that 109 level. And as long as we hold on to, you know, around the, if you look at it, there's a number of key technical levels with around that 103, 104-ish range. So as long as we're above there, then that opens up the upside to 109. But overall, kind of in a trading range like you talked about, so I wouldn't be making big bets either way. But as you guys both mentioned, certainly a lot of money, a lot of algorithms are going to be based on whatever the dollar does do.
Well, let's talk about the uncurrency and the monetary metal of gold. It's usually counterbalanced to the dollar and to interest rates. It did get down into the low 1820s. It's had a little bit of a bounce here up into the 1880s, almost 1890. What do you make of the recent move in gold? Is there any legs to this?
I think it's in the near term, it definitely has its challenges. So if we can shift gears and look at some of the ETFs that we trade, obviously you've got a nice bounce over the last week or so, along with some of the other risk assets like equities, but up in the, call it upper 170s on GLD, you know, looking at 177, 179, plenty of resistance up there. So we've had a nice bounce. I don't think we're out of the woods necessarily yet. Certainly from a technical perspective, I don't see anything that would suggest that. And then silver as well, SLV. Plenty of resistance up in the upper 20 range, around 21. So plenty of work to be done. As you know, in the long term, we do think we break out, especially gold, and put in a new up leg to that bull market. In the near term, we continue to chop around in the range that we've been in for a while. So hard to get too excited or too aggressive in either direction.
how low could gold go? Or if we're looking at GLD trading right now, right around, let's say, that 170 level, how much lower could this go?
We've got, on the charts, we've got some potential support down around 165, 166. I would say that would be the next line in the sand to look at. If that doesn't hold, then we're below 160 again. So that would, so like I said, I would keep our position small at this point and trade around it, you know, as we bounce from level to level. I don't think there's anything too substantial as far as levels are concerned in our eyes that we would take, you know, really outsized bets with. So right now we do have long positions on in gold and silver and in the miners, but like I've been mentioning, we do have a hedge on in the miners, and we'll keep that on until we do improve our technical positions here.
Dana, what about time of the year? We have talked seasonality a fair bit, and we are in Q4. Some people refer to it as crash season because of history and some of the major crashes we have seen in Q4. And it just seemed weird that these markets, they really started to roll over as we moved into Q4 here. What do you think the seasonality factor is, if at all?
Well, yeah, we do look at seasonality, especially this time of the year, because one of the more consistent or reliable seasonal effects is for seasonal weakness around this time of the year. But that really started, you know, in late summer, really the end of July. And by this point, we're actually getting close to the end of that seasonally weak period. So, yes, this is crash season. October has been the obviously the month of several crashes or waterfall declines in the past. But along with crash season comes bottoming season. So we have seen those volatile periods, the highly tumultuous periods in October, often in the past, but at the same time, it often leads to lows, leads to bottoms, leads to buying opportunities. So I would not dismiss that possibility. In fact, that's what we are looking for, especially if we get another kind of a washout or another scare to the downside. We'd be looking for opportunities to get a little bit more aggressive in buying risk assets, especially the equity market.
There you go. There is always a bull market somewhere. It's maybe depressing as some of these sectors and markets have been for the last few years. There are opportunities, Dana, and I do appreciate you really wrapping us up with that comment. So, Dana, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. And everyone, be sure to go check out Dana's website, the Lion's Share Pro, which I will link to in the weekend show posting. Dana, thanks again for your time. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News. News Update.
Breaking news this half hour out of the Middle East as a full-scale IDF ground invasion of Gaza is imminent. Explosions being heard on both sides. Hamas firing rockets overnight into the Israeli town of Ashkelon. Buildings there damaged. Israel says it has killed the Hamas terrorist who meticulously planned the horror at the festival and nearby kibbutz last Saturday, where Jewish people were shot in the head and killed, women raped, babies beheaded, and hostages taken. President Biden was in Philadelphia Friday speaking about Bidenomics, but before his remarks, he spoke via Zoom with Americans whose family members are still being held right now by Hamas terrorists.
They're going through agony, not knowing what the status of their sons, daughters, husbands, wives. I assured them my personal commitment to do everything possible to return every missing American to their families.
This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, in the back half of this show, we are going to be focusing a bit more on the resource sector, as we are now chatting with Adrian Day, founder of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Now, it's been a little while since I last had Adrian on the show. And Adrian, before we dive into some of the individual resource sectors, which is where I really want to go to focus on if or where opportunities are for investors, a broad market comment from you, please, because look, everyone's still very focused on what central banks are doing, if the Fed will raise, if they won't raise rates. A lot of people are watching the bond market as the bond sell-off has continued and yields have really spiked to levels we haven't seen in quite a while, especially uptrends that we haven't seen in decades. Plus, everyone's still waiting for this recession to happen, which now a lot of these calls have been pushed out to next year. So, Adrian, just in an overall market sense, how do you see kind of the big picture narrative playing out?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think the market participants are correct to look at the Fed and what the Fed is doing and what the Fed is likely to do. But of course, as we know, and as you indicated, there's also a market. You know, the Fed doesn't dictate policy, or it doesn't dictate what happens to markets. And one of the things that's happening now that is really extremely important is what you mentioned about long rates moving up. and the rates on long bonds are moving up, despite what the Fed would like. And that, I think, is very, very significant. And part of that, of course, is because we've had a huge extra issuance of treasuries in the second half of this year, both because the debt has gone up, the deficit's gone up, so it has to be financed, because of the lockdown. So you had the debt ceiling talks earlier in the year. You had a period there of a few months where the Treasury was not allowed to issue any new treasuries. So they were pushed into the second half along with the normal second half. And then, of course, you've also had a lot of treasuries roll over. The Treasury for the last few years in the U.S., as well as in other countries, frankly, many other countries, frankly, was issuing more and more of its debt at the short end. They issued at the short end instead of the long end, so a lot of those are rolling over. Well, when they roll over, that's all new issue supply. So you've got supply going up, but equally important, and perhaps more important in the longer term, is you've got a shortage of buyers. I mean, there's never a shortage of buyers at the right price, obviously. People will buy Argentine debt at the right price. But the foreign central banks that have been traditional buyers, China, Japan, even Russia, are not buying anymore. The Fed is not buying anymore. The Federal Reserve, which was the number one buyer of treasuries for years, which in itself is somewhat perverse, but nonetheless, they're not buying anymore. And the U.S. banks, which have traditionally been a large buyer of treasuries, are not buying, or buying much less, I should say, in their case, for various reasons. So you've got the traditional buyers not in the market. You've got an extra supply. And so, as I mentioned, yes, you can clear the market, but you clear at a price. What price? And so the buyers that are there are demanding a higher price. That is very, very significant because it messes up the Fed's plans and potentially means that the Fed will have to come back in and start buying long bonds again. So that's one thing. The second thing, you mentioned recession. I think it's critical that we don't fall into the trap of saying, well, because there's been no recession in the last 18 months of tightening in the U.S. and around the world, therefore we've got a soft landing. We all know that monetary policy works with lags, and those lags are long. And the average length in the U.S. over the last seven recessions going back to the early 1960s, the average time frame from the first rate hike to the onset of a recession was 22 months. So even though we've had the most rapid increase percentage-wise in interest rates in history in the U.S. from zero to 5.5, the time frame is still lower than the average of recessions back to 1960. So I think we are still definitely on track for a recession. I think people who think that we've missed it this time are really not looking at history and not looking at economic theory either, because if you think about, I won't go into this too much, but just if you think about the way the economy works, which means the way individual businesses, households react to things, it takes time before an increase in interest rates severely cuts into your spending and companies laying off people and so on. It takes time for that to happen. So I think two things were, so one is we're definitely on track for a recession in my mind, and the Fed is now in a place where a lot of us have been saying they're heading this way. It's now upon the Fed. But they're in a situation where the economy is slowing, inflation is not under control yet, and we can talk about inflation if you want, but inflation is not under control yet, and they're in a situation where they're going to have to stop raising rates because of the impact it's having on the market, on the bond market, because of the impact it's having on the federal government, the debt servicing, and frankly, because there's an election year next year, and the Fed has always been reluctant to be too tight in an election year. And they certainly don't want to provoke a serious recession in an election year.
Yeah, Adrian, it's going to be interesting to follow along with how some of these trends resolve themselves. Will the Fed have to switch from QT back to QE and start buying bonds to support the markets? What is the effect of this higher for longer on the housing market, on auto loans, on business loans? How does it affect the consumer? Because some of people's debt hasn't even rolled over yet, but when they face those higher interest rates, that's going to impact their spending both on the corporate side and on the consumer side. But let's translate this over to how it relates to the markets. You know, when you look at gold as a safe haven, it's done okay in the face of such an aggressive rate hiking cycle, but it's not blowing out the doors, not breaking any records to new highs, despite all of the volatility we've seen. What do you make of the gold market in light of all these macro forces and in an environment where now savers can pile into money markets at 5.5%, kind of taking away some of the shine from gold?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, fundamentally, what you said is correct, but I would disagree with you. I would disagree with the sort of premise that, you know, gold hasn't really done that well. I mean, if you think back a year ago, gold was at a little over 1,600, and it's now over 1,900, and it's been as high as, you know, whatever, 1,950 or something. So that's a pretty, to me, that's a pretty strong move. Let's just say $300. That's a pretty strong move in 12 months. From an asset that is supposed to be an insurance asset, a hedge, it's not meant to be a speculative asset, and an asset in the face of a strong stock market until very recently, a strong stock market, which is an alternative to gold, obviously, and in the face of hiking, interest rates moving up and moving up into positive real rates in the U.S. and many other places in the world, which is also negative for gold. And as you say, you know, the alternative now of getting 5% on a 3-month, 6-month treasury is pretty compelling, is pretty strong competition for gold. So I think gold has done well in the face of that tightening. It always, to me, it always was a matter of when does the market realize or believe, whichever, when does the market come to realize that the Fed will be unable to raise interest rates sufficiently to kill inflation for whatever reason? And I think we weren't there last month. We weren't there the month before, but I think we're getting very, very close to that point now.
Well, Adrian, you're not alone in wondering when these rate cuts are going to start happening, when the Fed gets forced off of this tighter monetary policy. Who knows when that'll be, but it sounds like you think it'll be sooner rather than later. Adrian, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Welcome back. We are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Adrian Day, founder of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Now, Adrian, is, I guess, much as gold has hung in there and remained resilient, if not strong, during this very complex market time, look, these stocks have just continued to suffer. And it's not just the little ones. It's also some of the majors that can't seem to get any major traction or sustain any major uptrend. Adrian, your thoughts on why these gold stocks have continued to underperform a pretty stable higher gold price?
Yeah, no, and I'll be honest. I mean, I am surprised that the gold stocks are quite as undervalued as they are, given the gold price, given the environment as well, given the strong cash flows, as you say, the cash flows for the seniors are really quite robust relative to the last 10 years, and given the outlook. I think that we can say a couple of things. You know, if you look at the last 12 months up until, say, September, and you see that huge dichotomy between the gold price and the gold stocks, and everybody assumes, well, that means the gold stocks have to catch up. Well, it doesn't, of course. It might mean that gold comes down. It might mean that gold was overpriced, overvalued, rather than the gold stocks were undervalued. And I think we began to see evidence that that was, or indications that that was indeed the case. We started to see that in September and then right at the beginning of this month, when gold fell sharply. And the point I would make is that over the last 12 months, from last October all the way through to September or August, the gold price was really supported by the central banks. We all know about, the record buying of central banks. But that was really supporting the gold price. You look at the ETFs, the gold ETFs, they were seeing massive outflows and consistent outflows. Again, over the last 12 months, there's only been was it February, March, or March and April? I forget now. But really 2 months, which saw positive inflows into the gold ETFs. Every other month, we were seeing these outflows, and they were heavy and consistent outflows. And so it wasn't investors who were supporting gold. It wasn't speculators who were supporting gold. It was the central banks. And the problem with that, of course, is you're looking at a relatively small handful of players. So you only need a handful of players, for whatever reason, to pause their buying for a month or two for it to affect the gold price. And then the last numbers that came out, the last numbers I'm pretty sure were for July. I should have looked this up. I'm sorry. The last numbers that came out from the World Gold Council for July showed a leveling off of gold buying by the central banks. I wouldn't be at all surprised if when we see August and particularly September's numbers, when they're released, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see that gold buying from the central banks fell reasonably sharply in those months. And that's what provoked, likely, that's what provoked the gold sell-off. That doesn't mean that central banks have stopped buying gold forever. I don't mean to imply that at all. I just mean that after a year of some pretty aggressive buying, widespread buying, and record buying, a pause was not unexpected. Gold was probably ahead of itself, was overpriced to where it, quote, should be. And I hate using the word should when you talk about what the gold price is. But it was ahead of itself, which meant the gold stocks were, yes, undervalued, but perhaps less undervalued than otherwise would appear. And of course, with a strong stock market, when people, and these things build on themselves, when people are looking at every quarter for some companies, every year for other companies, where do I allocate my 401k money this year? Well, the stock market's doing pretty well. Let's put it in the stock market. Do you want to buy any gold or resources? You've got to be joking, right? No, so everybody, it just builds on itself. Because the stock market is doing well, people are less interested in buying gold stocks. You know, that will change. I mean, from a contrarian point of view, the total lack of interest in gold stocks, but absolute lack of interest outside the gold investors, the gold community, is just astonishing. You know, if you talk to most investors, they don't even want to have a discussion about it. It's not that they're negative. They're just not interested. Well, that's from a contrarian point of view, that is very, very compelling, because when that changes, the potential for big moves in gold stocks is very, very high indeed.
Yeah, well, these share prices, they have struggled. But again, these companies are not making the same margins that they were back at that last major run in about 2011, simply because costs have crept. But they've cleaned up their balance sheets, and they are making money. We just need to see them start to use that money to buy other companies, to free up other capital. What about some other resource sectors here? Mostly this green transition, these critical minerals, which it seems like a number of gold bugs want to almost discredit or poo-poo on. But the fact of the matter is I've seen way more new investors come into the resource space because of this critical minerals movement. And I realize some of these small sectors that go on big runs can become very overvalued, but again, it's a sector within this resource sector that I think should almost more be embraced because it is capturing a younger audience. Adrian, how do you feel about some of these critical minerals and some of the runs that they've been on?
Yeah, okay. No, some broad points first, if I may. I mean, I've been around in this business a long time. And if we go and look in the books, even if you don't remember it, we all remember, you know, the nickel boom in Australia in the 1960s and the rare earth boom in the 1990s and the, you know, so on, strategic metals, they were called back then, the strategic metals boom in the 1990s and so on and so forth. And all of these booms have ended in tears for investors, all of them, every single one of them. So first of all, I'm nervous and cautious. I miss things, there's no question, but I'm cautious on jumping on bandwagons, you know, where we've seen such strong moves. That's the first point. The second point I'd make is that notwithstanding that some of these critical minerals, you know, we can mention lithium or whatever, you know, several of them, are indeed essential and are there's going to be a huge increase in demand for them with the electrification of transportation and the electrification of the power grid. No question about that. My concern, I guess, would be one of substitution. So if we buy, to take a silly example, if you look at gold and if they suddenly discover that, you know, aluminum fillings works better than gold fillings, that substitution does not change the thesis for investing in gold. And that was a bit of a silly example, I'm sorry. But if you look at lithium, Elon Musk comes up with a lithium battery that uses a quarter or a tenth of the lithium that current batteries do. That has a meaningful effect, and meaningful is also English understatement, a meaningful effect on a lithium market, because lithium's uses are pretty narrow. And so I'm always concerned, and that's a longer-term story, of course, but I'm concerned with substitution, which you don't see so much in, say, copper or gold, etc. Now, the way I'm playing it, this is just my preference, to be honest. My preference is not to buy into stocks of pure lithium players. We have one or two, I'll have to say, but they're pretty small in my overall portfolio. But rather to get my, and we're mentioning lithium as an example, to get my lithium exposure through other companies that I like anyway. Now, I don't mean RTZ, where, you know, lithium price could double and it won't mean too much to RTZ, but I'm talking about companies like Altius, you know, which had a large, which has, you know, a large shareholder and plus royalties in a lithium spin-off, or a company like Midland Exploration, which is in Quebec, and is exploring for gold and nickel and copper and everything else you want. But they also have two large strategic alliances on their ground looking for lithium. So one with Brunswick, one with RTZ. So if they discover something on one of those projects, yes, it won't be, the returns won't be as good as if, you know, you invested in Brunswick and they had a discovery, but they'll be satisfactory. They'll be sufficiently satisfactory, particularly given the lower risk.
Okay. Hey, Adrian. It's great having you back on the show. Thank you very much for your time. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment, but I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. I'll follow up with you in a month or two time to get some more insights and dive a little bit more into some of these individual resource sectors. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Please be sure to go back through our website, kereport.com, and podcast the KE Report. We hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.